So we know that adolescents with intellectual disabilities tend not to be prepared for the responsibilities that they have when they transition to the adult world.
And so can you explain a little bit about what you mean about that? Now, with intellectual disabilities in the K-12 system, there are certain pieces put in place for these students to be successful?
Or at least to be part of the school environment and to have their needs met. And so, yeah, so there's the school part, and then there's the medical part, and then there's also other social services. And the way those services are accessed are quite different for adults than they are for adolescents. And then also, all students seem to have some kind of a struggle transitioning from high school to the adult world, but it tends to be even more challenging for kids with ID.
And this is something that you said you mentioned when, or you noticed when you were working in the system.
Yes, so I was a school psychologist, mm-hmm. and I worked in specialized programming, and one of the groups of students that I worked with were students with intellectual disabilities.
And so once they finish high school, what happens to them? What did you see happening to these students?
Yeah, so we didn't always know what happened. So sometimes it was good, and they had been prepared and were able to find a job and sometimes live independently. But more often than not, they were living at home, watching TV all day, not having access to employment or meaningful volunteer opportunities, not having access to leisure activities that were healthy for them, and so they watched television.
And so why do you think that was? Was there an issue in accessing the programs that were available, the lack of information about them? Where was the disconnect?
All of those things. So we've done a little bit of research asking parents in Alberta about their experience of preparing their kids for transition, and they've said that it is quite challenging to navigate the systems, and there's lots of, well, you need to go ask this person. And so then they go ask that person, and they say, no, I'm not the right person, you need to go ask this person. And these are parents who are well-educated and have time to invest in their kids. So definitely quite concerned that people who are less well-educated or immigrants who don't have even a good grasp of English are even less able to access systems that they need as they transition.
Because even if you've got people who are advocates for their children, they're struggling trying to
yes.
find these things out. And so we're talking about everything from accessing the medical system, mm-hmm. Social interactions, looking for a job, all these different things.
Yep.
So what do you think are some possible solutions to this dilemma of helping these students make this transition?
Okay. Well, there's been a lot of research on what best practices are for transition planning, and unfortunately, not all of those are implemented. So I think it would go a long way if we made a concerted effort to implement best practices for transition planning when students are still in school in order to give them the resources and tools that they need in order to be successful as they transition.
And this sounds like it might be a role for everyone from parents to teachers to school administrators to policymakers and people who are implementing the programs in the outside world once they leave the K-12 system. Is that right?
Yes, so one of the best practices is to have key stakeholders involved throughout the process. And I think some of the key stakeholders who are often not adequately involved include the students themselves. So we don't often ask students, what are your goals after you graduate? And so there's been research to show that even when there is a transition plan in place, students don't know that it exists. So their input is not part of what's planning this transition plan. And then parents aren't often involved. So when these kids graduate, their families tend to stay more involved in their lives than typically developing kids because of their needs. So we definitely need to include parents. And then also, those outside agencies, those adult agencies, need to be part of the process to help that bridge the gap between child services and adult services because they are so different.
So if you were advising a parent who had a child who was about to finish through the school system, what advice would you give to that parent in terms of helping nurture that child through the school system and into adulthood? What advice would you give?
Well, I would actually hope to talk to that parent sooner, like middle school or beginning of high school, because the plan for transition really needs to be pretty lengthy. These students tend to take longer to learn new skills and need a lot more support and repetition, so I'd be hoping to start earlier. But I would advise them to become well aware of what best practices are for transition planning. So Alberta Education has collaborated with some outside agencies to come up with best practices in Alberta, which are pretty similar to what research says in other places. So making sure that you have goals, that they're written down, that they're observable and measurable. So not just, they'll graduate and do okay kind of goals, but their goal is to live in an independent setting with a roommate with check-ins from parents weekly, like that, those kinds of
really
goals.
To really come up with goals, concrete goals for the child based on the child's abilities.
Yes, yep, and goals. And so they would include things like, what are your expectations for independent living? What are your expectations for post-secondary education or employment? What are expectations for leisure activities? Do they need guardianship? So lots of parents have always just signed all the paperwork and taken care of everything, and then they go to the doctors after they graduate and turn 18, and the doctor says, I can't talk to you, right? So taking care of those legal requirements as well. And then something that families don't often like to think about is, what happens when I'm gone? Mm-hmm. So especially for kids who really are going to be living with their families, what's going to happen when parents get older and can't take care of their kids anymore? So starting to think about those kinds of plans
as well. So the parents really need to have a long-term plan for their children.
Definitely.